We'll ask you once again this evening to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And again, as we did twice yesterday, we'll begin to read from verse 3. But if our gospel be hid or veiled, it is veiled to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There are certain things that Scripture teaches us God is. We're told, for example, that God is love. God is angry with the wicked every day. God is omnipotent, that is, He's all-powerful. God is omniscient, that is, He knows everything. And God is light. Now, that does not mean that God makes light, nor does it mean that God uses light. It means that God is light. One of the things that the Almighty Being is the great illuminator. If you go back in your minds to the beginning of the Bible, to the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, you'll remember that the very opening comments about this planet was that it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. In other words, this planet, such as it was at that time, was entirely in darkness. And when God came upon the scene, the first thing that happened was He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now, we're not told the exact nature of that light. The sun and the moon had not yet been made. They were not made until the fourth day of creation. But darkness cannot abide where God is. And so the moment God appeared on the scene, light was introduced. We read there that when He looked at it, He saw that it was good. In other words, that illumination which comes from God is good. When you come to John chapter 1, the beginning of the great exposition of the gospel by the apostle John, He tells us right away of the reality of light. That light, there was one who came to be a witness of the light. And if you look at the words carefully in John chapter 1, you find that the word light there is capitalized again and again. It is the positive article, light. And right through the Bible, light is identified with God. Until finally you come to the end of the book of Revelation, and you find that in heaven there is neither candle nor sun, for God Himself is the light thereof. Now, just as surely as God is the being of light, Satan is the being of darkness. It is his great desire to keep light and enlightenment out of the minds of sinful men. If there are people here tonight who are not saved, your mind has not yet been enlightened by God with respect to things that you desperately need to know. The gospel is the glorious light of the message of God. We noticed yesterday, the first time we looked at these scriptures, that sinners are lost. They are perishing. God, the message of the gospel is veiled so that they cannot clearly see its message. Some of you know that just a few days ago, in fact, until a week ago, Saturday, I was in the Middle East. And the first time I have been in an area where very commonly on the streets, and even people, women that I was talking to, the women were veiled. And these ladies will often be covered in black literally from the top of their heads right down to their toes, and they're looking at you through a veiled cloth. You can't see their eyes even. And you know that as they look out at you, they're not getting a clear image. Now, when they look at me, that's probably an advantage, but it's a disadvantage, of course, in many ways for these poor individuals to have to look through a veil all the time and they don't get a clear picture. That's exactly the meaning of this scripture. That one of the reasons sinners are lost is they don't have a clear picture of what God has got to say to men and women. Because if they had a clear picture, they would quickly change their course. And then we read last evening and noticed that the God of this world, Satan, is busy blinding the minds of those that believe not. It's a sad business to be lost. It's an infinitely worse business to be lost and blind. At least if you're lost, many times you can orient yourself towards something. In fact, the other day in London, I got directions to go to a certain place, and the man told me, he said, now when you get close to where you're to be, he said, you'll see a very high church steeple. And he says, whatever you do as you wind through the streets in the area, he said, keep an eye on the church steeple, because where you've got to get to, my office is right next door to the church steeple. Well, he was right. As I got into the general area, I spotted the steeple, and it didn't matter which way the road twisted and turned, as long as I could see the steeple, I knew that's where I had to get to. But had I been blind, that would have done me no good at all. And so it is with sinners that are all around us. They're not only lost, but they're blind. They don't realize their own condition. They don't realize where they are with respect to God. They don't understand their need. They are lost, and they are blind. What is the reason why the master of darkness wants to keep sinners lost and blind? Very simple. He does not want the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, to shine unto them. Now, if the light of God shines into the soul, it is going to reveal certain things. The first thing the light of God does is it lets a sinner see what he really is in the sight of God. Now, if you've never had a look at what you really are in the sight of God, that is the reason you're not saved. Brother Jabe yesterday was remarking that when we get up in the morning and we stand in front of the mirror, if we don't like what we see, and most of us don't, he said, you can always turn out the light. And that is exactly what is happening really with respect to sinners. They don't want to look at themselves and see what they really are in the sight of God. In fact, there's a tremendous philosophy, a religious approach in society today, we call it the New Age Society, that is telling men and women that they are to see good in themselves. You've heard the phrase over and over again, you are somebody. The whole idea of this approach is that man is basically good. As we were reminded yesterday, the gospel tells us that outside of Christ, man is inherently bad. He is a sinner. Now, the first thing the gospel will show you, if your eyes are open to reality, it will show you how you really look in the sight of God. That's a frightening sight. Nobody wants to see what they really are. In fact, most of us can't. You'll remember the great Scottish poet, perhaps, who said, I would that God the gift would gie us to see ourselves as others see us. 'Twould from many a blunder free us and foolish notion. We don't like to see ourselves as others do. In fact, that's, I think, the reason that some of us guys have got wives, because they see us entirely differently than we see ourselves. I know my wife does. There are times she tells me things that really are unbelievable about myself. She says I snore. I have never noticed that, but she says I do. She tells me that I'm pig-headed sometimes. Now, there's a family in the area called Kazan, and most of the Kazans are, we are told, strong-willed. And apparently there are times, in my case at least, when the strong will becomes pig-headedness. Now, I've never noticed that myself. I really don't think it's a reality, but my wife says it is. You see, and I guess she's right. You see, there's a perspective that comes from someone else. We are perceived by others differently than we perceive ourselves. What an awesome thing it is when we come face to face with the reality of how God sees us. God sees us, first of all, our exterior. If the light of the gospel of Christ shines upon us, the first thing we're going to see is our exterior. Might we think we're pretty good, don't we? We think that we're really rather sharp. We are, most of us, honest, tax-paying, moral, upright individuals, and we take the position, therefore, that really we are basically okay. I remember years ago, the only year that I practiced pharmacy in my life was when I worked in a rather large drugstore in Edmonds. And on the staff there were two very nice ladies who were perhaps 20 years older than myself at the time, who were cosmeticians. And it wasn't long after I started working there, and sometimes it was my responsibility to close up the store at the end of the day. And when 9 or 10 o'clock closing time came around, there would usually be one of these cosmetician ladies left in the store and myself. And after the last customers were out, we'd lock the doors and then we'd have to sweep up and put away the money and turn out the lights and all that sort of thing. So one night as we were sweeping, this one cosmetician was sweeping one aisle and I was sweeping the next, and there was an island of goods between us. And we were talking, couldn't see each other, and talking as we swept along. And I made the remark, "We are all sinners." The moment it was out of my mouth, I heard the broom hit the floor on the other side of the island, and a moment later, I was confronted with a furious lady. Her eyes were wide open in anger, and she was shaking her finger at me and saying, "Doug Kazin, I'll have you know I am no sinner." Now, what she was trying to say initially was that basically, she was a moral lady. I had no trouble with that. I could believe that. And she pointed out to me that she said, I am a good mother and a good wife. I had no problem with that. I could believe that. And she said, I'm an honest individual. I could believe that. I could understand that. But what she didn't realize was that in the sight of God, she was totally unholy. You may say, too, I'm okay. I'm not a sinner. Well, how would you like to stand up here? We'd give you 5 minutes, if you'd like. And stand up here and tell the audience every thought that has crossed your mind today. Would you dare to do that? Of course you wouldn't. You have today, without a doubt, told innumerable lies, many of them to yourself. You have been dishonest to yourself, as well as to many others around you, in all sorts of subtle ways. Every time that needle has gone just above 55, you have broken the law and therefore sinned. Every thought, every movement of lust that crosses the mind, every moment of self-pride, even a matter of not loving others above yourself, that is sin. And so if the light of the glorious gospel begins to shine upon the life, the first thing that is revealed is the exterior. It's not what we think it is. And God says, all those righteousnesses of yours are filthy rags. You ever been on a subway or something somewhere and you had to sit next to somebody who smelled? And you kind of look at them, you know, out the corner of their eye, and the garments are stained, and you say to yourself, those things haven't seen a washer in a month, and probably what's inside hasn't seen a shower in just as long, and the odor is just effusive, and you would love to put a lot of distance between yourself and that. And the God who loves you says, everything about you that you are wrapped in is filthy rags. Have you seen yourself that way?
And then the light of the glorious gospel will penetrate inside and will reveal that within we are every bit as bad as we are without. God says the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. And the first layer of deceitfulness within ourselves is we're not honest to ourselves. We will not face up to what we really are. That's why God gives us wives to tell us a little bit about what we really are. But the God of heaven is in the business of showing us what we really are. God says their mouth is an open sepulcher. Every time we open our mouths, in effect, as sinners, and we let out what's inside, what comes out? The same sort of odious rottenness that is within a sepulcher. That's what comes out. Man is intrinsically evil. Selfishness, lust, hatred, it all boils within the heart of unregenerate men. And when God looks within, all he sees there is that boiling pot of evil. And we go smugly on our way down the roadway of life and we think to ourselves, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I'm not killing my neighbor. I'm no worse than the next guy. Don't look at me as if there's something wrong with me. And as long as you carry that attitude, my friend, you're never going to get to heaven. Because the first thing the light of the gospel is going to do is reveal to you what you really are in the sight of God. Do you honestly believe that you are a bad enough sinner to deserve to spend eternity in the lake of fire? Can you honestly say that? Now, if you can't say that, you're not a Christian. Because before you can become a Christian, you have to reach the conclusion that you are actually enough of a sinner to deserve God's righteous judgment for all eternity. Now, God says you are a sinner. And as long as you live in the darkness of sin, with your mind blinded by the God of this world, the light of what you really are will not get in. But before I sit down, I want to tell you about one other thing that the light of the gospel will reveal if it gets inside that mind of yours. It will not only show you what you are, it will point you to the one you need. The light of the gospel of Christ will reveal to you one who can meet the need of the world's worst sinner. You see, God sent His Son. Now His Son never sinned. His Son couldn't sin. His Son had no sin in Him. God could say of His Son, and He said it over and over again concerning Him, I am well pleased. In fact, God was never displeased with His Son. Even when He hung at Calvary dying and made sin for sinful men, God was still well pleased with His Son. God gave His Son because God loves you. And the Lord Jesus Christ bare in His own body our sins on the tree. He took your sin, my friend. He took your place. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ shining into the heart reveals to the heart what God has done for sinners through His Son. It's amazing, isn't it? Men and women try their very best to get right with God. When they do get a little bit stirred up about themselves, they get religious. And they try to turn over a new leaf, and they try to do better. Never realizing, because they've never really seen themselves as they really are, they don't realize that there's nothing they can do for themselves. But Christ has done everything that the sinner needs.
At Calvary's cross, the Savior died for you. Picture for a moment two men. Let's call them George and Paul. And they have robbed a convenience store down here on Broadway. And they're caught. And they're brought into the judge. And the evidence is presented and they're guilty. Armed robbery. And the judge says, you're each to serve 10 years for your crime. And George, when the sentence is given, the judge says, George, do you have anything to say? And George says, yeah, Your Honor, I do have something to say. Paul here's a real good friend of mine. I'd like it if you would let me serve his sentence. Now, what would the judge say? He'd say, George, you've already got a sentence to serve. You're going to do 10, and while you're doing 10, he's going to do 10. And you're each going to do 10 for what you did. I can't let him off and say that, well, George, you can serve his sentence because you're as guilty as he is. Wouldn't work, would it? The Lord Jesus Christ never could have served a sentence for sin, died for you and me. Pilate gave sentence that he should be crucified. But Pilate didn't kill him. The Roman soldiers nailed him to the cross, but the Roman soldiers didn't kill him. He said, I lay down my life of myself. No man taketh it from me. Why did he die? Why was he there as the bearer of sin if on Jesus your guilt was not laid? Why from his side flowed the sin-cleansing blood if his dying your debt has not paid? My friend, tonight, we want you to understand that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ is a light that comes from God himself and enters the darkened soul of the sinner. If you have never seen yourself as you really are, as a guilty sinner, you need a vision of that tonight. If you have never seen the reality that the perfect Christ who died on Calvary died for sinners and therefore died for you, you need a vision of that tonight. The gospel of the grace of God will take away the scales of self-righteousness and smugness and strip you honestly of every hope and drive you on your knees to the foot of the cross, where you'll find that one who hung there in agony and blood has fully met the sinner's need. Oh, may it be that you will come to see, even tonight, how you really are in the presence of God and what God has done for you in His Son.